when I write y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer county. So if you keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Welcome to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Black Effect Podcast Network. Make sure you download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles. For my Apple users, hit the purple mic on your front screen, subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles, and leave a 5-star rating and comment.
We'd like to welcome everyone to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, and I am, of course, Big Steel with my homeboy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to take a little bit of time to address some stuff that's out there in the internet world, and I'm not going to say no names, but this person...
Internet conspiracy today?
Yeah, internet conspiracy, because apparently I don't own the company that I put my cold hard cash up to start.
Oh, we on that conspiracy.
You feel what I'm saying? Because all this stuff, you know, there's a guy, I'm not going to say his name because that's what he is. He's an attention-seeking, geriatric...
I got to be honest, I really don't do a lot of YouTube and internet stuff. Outside of Quran shit and doing a little bit of music, trying to do that, I can't say I really be, you know, but it be a gang of shit out there.
Yeah,
apparently.
I don't pay attention either, man, because one thing I don't want to do, I'm not trying to give this dude no promotion. Pretty much, I'm going to go back to the beginning. We used to record up in Beverly Hills. You've been to the mansion before.
Yeah, that's when I first met y'all.
Yeah, you know.
Came to the mansion.
You know, so we up in the mansion, and if you remember that place, this is easily maybe, what do you think, Brian, a $10 million home? You know, we in a $10 million home, and I'm doing business with these people, right? So this guy comes in for a meeting because, like every other has-been gangster, he want a podcast, right?
Okay.
He want to get a podcast. So I take the time to meet him and stuff like that. I meet with him. He starts kind of getting loud, and, you know, he one of them type of people that bark when he talk. You know, gives the extra, you know what I mean? Just real extra with the stuff.
Okay.
So I'm in there laughing at the dude, right? And keep in mind, when we had this meeting, James sitting in the room, and... I'm not going to say their name, but you know I got 4 or 5 homeboys that's right out there in the front. Brian, you can attest to that. They was always over there, right? If I would have gave the message, they'd have came in there and stumped a mud hole and dude. But that's not what I want because, again, I'm a businessman, right? So I'm talking to this dude or whatever. I help him out with some stuff, right? Now, one thing I am going to say, you didn't force me to do a damn thing. Anything I do out the kindness of my heart, see, that's the problem. When you help niggas take stuff as a sign of weakness. I am definitely not weak. You don't know me, homeboy. You definitely don't know me to be speaking my name, talk about you chased me around with a mic stand and had a pipe and all this. My homeboys, I would have whooped your ass myself. Straight up. You are a 60-year-old man, but I'm not on that stuff. Again, I am a businessman. I got children that's doing better than you. My 19-year-old daughter make more money than you. You talking about you going to a state, you driving a piece of shit, beat-up-ass truck, talk about you coming from an estate. I'm going to tell you this, man. I'm going to tell everybody else out there. I'm not going to keep allowing y'all just to play with my name. You know what I am going to do? I got attorneys for niggas like y'all, so keep playing with my name and see what you get hit with. That little shit, little raggedy shit you got, I would take it and it would be mine, and I would go give it away to a hobo. Because that's what you are. You are a bum. Keep my name out your mouth. Now that my rant is over with, we'll keep going.
Okay.
You know the guy from Cash App. The guy started Cash App. I think his name is Bob Lee. Am I correct? He got murdered. This is kind of old news, but what I found interesting was the federal government is now starting their own version of this stuff.
Yeah, I read a little bit about that. I'm not too much interested in it. I try to stay away from it. I know that's the shit. A lot of people use Cash App. You know, a lot of people use the money wiring services. You know, back in my days, all we had was Western Union.
Oh, for real? Yeah, I remember that.
So, but, you know, nowadays you got Zelle, you got Cash App, you got Venmo, you got all these money sites. So it's just a matter of time until the government got in on it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think the government right now, man, because I just got hit with a big tax bill, man. Like, honestly, I got hit with a tax bill that kind of scared me. You know, I'm getting it rectified and everything because they will throw your ass in jail behind that.
Well, you know, hopefully it's not no astronomical. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, because they will come at you. You know, they want their bread.
And I'm going to give it to them, too, so they don't have to have no problems.
They will work with you if you're not in the position where you at that you at that million-dollar mark and shit.
Oh, no, I'm not up there yet. That's when they start throwing you in jail. And
exactly.
All that stuff,
you start owing them millions, they coming after you. You owe a couple of $100,000, they be willing to work with you. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes brothers, you know, especially us, we start making good, clean money, and, you know, it just goes away from us sometimes. You know, taxes and all the legitimate stuff that you got to do when you making money at that bracket. So, you know, you learn, you live and learn. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? See, the thing is where we get in trouble with, too, and I'm going to go back to this because I know you're not a conspiracy theorist, eh? I just thought the timing of it was mighty funny that this man come up dead and the government is starting their stuff. But I don't know if they – I'm not saying the government went out there and killed him. I just thought it was really – I just saw the irony in it.
Yeah, you want to say things happen for reasons, but shit be mysterious. And the next thing you know, something happens on top of already the conspiracy of what you think is, you know what I'm saying, is being contributed to the shit. So I try not to get into that shit because it could take you a gang of motherfucking places, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, being a conspiracy theorist, man, could have you just... I mean, the way the clock turned, the way a motherfucking light switch is turned on and off, it's a conspiracy. So I try not to get too much in that, but not putting nothing against it because sometimes you never know. Some of the shit might be true.
Yeah, it's a lot of weird stuff, but, you know, on that tax stuff, man, what happens is, especially as a business owner and you have so much going on, it's a lot of cash that changes hands, right?
Definitely.
And if you don't collect 1099 from people and stuff like that, you will wind up actually owing a lot more money than what you really do because these people ain't took care of their business. You know, you give somebody a 1099 for them. So I had to get to the point, man, where if unless you got a 1099, you would not get paid.
Exactly.
You would not get paid. But the thing is, with all this stuff, man, with money and stuff, it comes responsibility. That's like I was explaining to my son. I was saying, you know, you go out and you make $500,000 or whatever like that, you're really only making $275,300.
Yeah.
You're really only making $275 or $300. So I think the best thing to do, man, is just when you get a lump sum in, is just going to pay it off top. Automatically account. If you get a check for $100,000, just know, man, I got $75,000.
Yeah. It's best to take about 30 and just put it up, you know, and already say this is what I'm going to look forward to paying taxes off of because, you know, shit, it could go for years and years and years, but eventually, you know, it catches up just like everything. You feel me?
Oh, for sure. When I tell you it catches up, and believe me, I know. I remember when I was going over to England a lot, I used to go to the UK, man, probably like 2 or 3 times a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you young, you think you just getting money. But them 1099s start hitting your ass. They start hitting you with that paperwork, man. Like, yeah, we told that we gave you this money because they have to pay taxes on that money. I'm pretty sure wherever they at, man. So it's a real slippery slope, man. You got to be careful. That's why you get a lot of entertainers and athletes that wind up having immense tax problems later on because nobody ever told them. And then sometimes when you have these financial people, man, these financial people handling your business for you, man, them motherfuckers in there just stealing.
Yeah, I've never, you know, I might have not have been in the bracket of some of these you know, these artists out here. You know, I claim to be an average motherfucker, you know, hardworking 9-to-5 ass nigga, rapping nigga is me. But you have to be able to figure out when you get to that status, man, because, you know, they will come for you. And then it's all about trust, man, who you can trust. Because I always tell a motherfucker, you're going to get fucked regardless of what it is. I don't care, motherfucker. He'll play the honest Abe-ass motherfucker for as long as he can. But eventually, sooner or later, the nigga's going to take, you know, you get a quarter, he going to take 5 cents of it. A motherfucker, you get 50 cents, he want motherfucking 15 cents off of it.
For
you
real.
Know?
And they get their money regardless.
They
going
to figure out how to do it. Even though on top of that, you paying a motherfucker what he should be getting.
Oh, yeah, but check this out.
By standard, but it's just some motherfuckers who feel like, I just deserve a little more. Even though it's your bread and you out there working for it and you out there performing or entertaining or sports or doing whatever you doing, you know. When you get into that league where you got to have other motherfuckers handling your money, you best believe somebody trying to dip in the cookie jar.
Oh, for sure. You saw Terrell Owens. Remember he had that TV show, man, and that man was on there crying. Because somebody tried to tell me that was staged. I said, no. If you saw that dude, man, that dude was really gone. He had all the money he thought he had saved up was gone. He didn't have nothing.
Mm.
And that's the thing, you know, when you get with these people that talk about they can invest your money and double your money, they still get paid their commission whether the investment is successful or not. So if you invest in a restaurant, and let's say you invest $250 into a restaurant, right, and that restaurant ain't successful, that dude still get his commission regardless of whether you lose or not. Regardless whether you lose or win, and he gonna get a bigger commission if it is successful, but he's taking his off the top though. He's taking his off top.
Why do you think motherfuckers feel like they have the position, or feel just like I want to fuck a nigga? Period. Why you think niggas do that?
You know what I noticed, eight, especially with, I'm not gonna say black people because it's a difference between niggas and black people. A nigga right. feels like a motherfucker owe him something. They feel like they owe him something. Fuck what's fair or what's right, right? They feel like somebody owes them something, even if they're not putting up a dime. A nigga will show up every week, dog, do the minimum, and go home, but yet expect to get the same thing that you get, if not more. And to get mad at your ass if they can't do it. Now, I'm talking about, like, you got two different people, right? You got the white corporate types, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most of that happens because they think they're more intelligent than us. But once they find out, if they find out that they can't pull one over on you, if you're a person that's real attentive to detail and you pay a lot of attention to detail, they're not going to fuck with you like that. But if you a dude that's kind of just like really just letting them do their job, which you should be able to, if you're paying a man for a service to watch over your money, you should be able to sleep at night knowing your cash is there and not being spent on putting his daughter through college or buying his mistress some new titties.
Man, and then it's not even all related to the fact of a motherfucker handling your money, because it's a motherfucker you could even deal with as far as going into business with or whatever, who just feel like, you know, I deserve to get more money. You know what I'm saying? Situations of motherfuckers who, you know, like one of my situations to where, you know, you go out, get a record deal. You know, I'm sitting up writing all these songs in the studio all night. You know, I'm sitting up, me and my man, we sitting up all night trying to come up with songs. And, you know, I'm writing lyrics left and right. And then because we don't have that motherfucking position to where we can sit down at the table with the main motherfucker, like just like a money man, but now you got a middleman. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And the motherfucker feel like, okay, well, I introduced the motherfucker to the label or to the person who signed them.
And
so
they feel like they should get come even after 40% of the deal.
Even after you break them off, you know what I'm saying? Because it's always a you know, what niggas used to call a finder's fee. Back
yeah, you know what? And I'm not mad at somebody. If somebody connects me with something, man, and I go out and make some money, I'm going to throw you back some bread. That's just right. You know what I'm saying? You give me a play 8 and I go make $50,000 on it, I'm going to come and shoot you 10.
But a lot of the plays be shit. Motherfucker be like, they want to get more money than you making. And you the motherfucker who's doing all the work.
Well, we know that situation firsthand because you about to do some stuff with my man from BET, for this movie, right? And when he calls me, you know, my guy, shout out to my homeboy Cato, he plugs it up because he say, hey, man, this dude been trying to get an 8, but 8 is telling him his day rate is $15,000 a day. I'm like, damn, that's not even after a sag. He's getting some, making money, right?
Nigga said 15 grand a day. Nigga put it on the table.
So, and you know, when I talk to you about it, you don't know nothing about it. You're not even aware of it. But that's where we at now. If they can't hook it up and rate the situation before you even go get started, because if he collecting 15, what did he think? That you was going to go somewhere and get 500 a day? Which is really the normal day rate for it. For a series, depending on what the budget is, I think the minimum of SAG is like probably $800 or $1,500 a day or something like that, right? I don't have a little scale in front of me.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
But because I haven't done nothing in a long time, I think I stopped doing the acting stuff when they went on strike that one time, and I got tired of going on all them auditions, even though I was cooking a lot of shit.
I ain't never even considered myself a fucking actor, so I never.
Me neither.
I did Menace. I did fucking Thicker Than Water. I did 100 Kilos, you know, and that was it. I never went after shit.
Good job doing Menace. You was acting your ass off in that motherfucker.
I really wasn't acting. I was
just acting the fool.
I was doing me. That's it.
And you was a young nigga back then, too, so that was Compton gangbanging.
That was being still tied to the neighborhood, still going to the, you know, that wasn't no acting shit.
Yeah, because you looked like an official user. You looked like an official gangster up in that motherfucker.
But like we were saying, man, shit, it's just people who feel like they deserve more than you get off of your work. And that shit surprises me sometimes. And just like you said, it could be a motherfucker who hitting like, yeah, man, you know, 8, man, you know, we want to. But and that still puzzles me because with social media and with all the ways of getting in contact with a motherfucker, it would seems like a nigga would just take his time and just try to get in contact with you direct. But you have those situations where motherfuckers try to go through people and be like, you know, you know, 8, because, you know, niggas put, you know, 10 on 20 and whatever that shit be and whatever. So, nigga, oh, yeah, that's my nigga, man. I can hit 8 right now or
that's
whatever.
That's what usually happens right there,
and
the latter part.
So, people put their trust in motherfuckers and then let the negotiations begin. And, like, I've never had a manager or never shit like that or an assistant or nothing like that. I need one. But motherfuckers, you know, they'll go start negotiating for you. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 8 want this and 8 want that. And in actuality, the motherfucker really be trying to fuck me.
You mean to tell me the little help I'll be giving you now, that's the first time?
Yeah.
That's the first time you don't have a motherfucker help you handle some business?
I've never had a manager and shit like that, never.
Well, you know what, man? It's about finding a good manager.
I just always felt like...
You ain't feel like giving a nigga 10%?
I looked at it like
this.
And
they ain't doing no work.
Yeah, I was a tight-ass nigga. That's why they used to call me tight in the neighborhood, because I didn't like to give up money for shit. Money was hard and tight. Shit.
Well, you know what it is, though, Abe.
But I felt like this. A nigga want me to come do a show, right? Mm-hmm. Nigga, how long you want me to get down? Okay, I need 3-4 flights. I need this how many rooms, and this is how much I take. I don't need a nigga to negotiate that. I just told you what it is.
Well, you know what a manager is supposed to do in theory, man, is bring you more opportunities. He's not supposed to sit up and see what a lot of niggas' idea of management is now, especially these ghetto hood niggas, this managers, they think they supposed to just sit up and just take phone calls for a motherfucker that can hit you up on Instagram on his own, right?
Right.
He can hit you up directly. What a manager is supposed to be doing is going to go seek other opportunities for you that you don't have, like tours. You know, tours and long-term stuff.
Some of these niggas use right now is like a motherfucking digital security guard. Because, nigga, I don't want to talk to this nigga. And I don't want to. Nigga want to call me 30 times a day and shit like that. So a lot of times you get motherfuckers like that. But like you said, a real manager goes out, gets you opportunities, presents you with opportunities, you know, and they out there working for the brand. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, and some dudes are very skilled at that. And then you got niggas who just, like I call them, they just want to sit up and play middleman.
Yeah, you got the hood. And that's the average hood, nigga.
A lot of the times, the niggas would be still calling me direct. You get me? And so after I done negotiated the price, the feature, the whatever, whatever, I go, okay, now go call this nigga. You feel me? So because like you said, a real motherfucker is out there getting you opportunities, not waiting for opportunities to come to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could just sit back and cherry pick.
Yeah, you know, you're supposed to go out as a manager and actively pursue new opportunities and endeavors, right? Like movies, for example.
Right.
You know, movies, other stuff that's really outside of your normal scope of business. It's easy to go get shows. I can have you MC8. I can have you booked every weekend to hear to the end of the thing. That's cool, but we trying to elevate to another level because, you know, as we get older, because Father Time is undefeated.
Oh, no.
As we get older, you're not going to want to go on the road every weekend. You got other stuff to do. You got a son that's about to start playing college ball. You got all kind of stuff. You got family time. So sometimes it's a bitch getting on them planes and stuff.
Man, it's like, go do shit, stuff. It's like my 95 around here for the last couple of months. I've been on the road every weekend for about the last 2 months. So
now just imagine you do a movie, right? You do a couple of flicks. You get compensated really well for that. And instead of going to go do a show every weekend, you go on a nice 10, 15 city tour to where you can stack your money. Now you can have more time to relax and unwind, and it's more lucrative.
It's always best to try to make time for family shit. You know, you neglect that shit sometimes.
Oh, you tell me, man.
Kids and family and women or husband or whatever the case may be. It's very valuable, you know what I'm saying? Because in my younger days in my career, you know, I was on the road, like, I don't know when I was at home. You know, between the time I dropped Straight Checking Them and Death Threats, I probably was at home maybe 3 months out of the year for about the last 20 years. So we was gone all the time. So it makes it hard. So when you get the opportunity, you try to reevaluate that type of shit. And, you know, that's what I did when Quran came around. You know, you just have to reevaluate what's more important. Now, you know, everybody going to feel chasing a check is important.
And that's not everything. That's not the, man.
You know, and don't get me wrong. I'm like you. You know what I'm saying? You got to get the bills paid. You feel me? And getting the bills paid come with sacrifices of going out there. But you just got to make time sometimes. A lot of niggas, nowadays, you see, you know, they make enough to where they can take their kids on the road with them and shit like that. You know, but, you know, we come from a different time and era. So just being able to evaluate what's more important as far as family time, you know what I'm saying? Because it changes the outlook a great on the family situation, if you ask me.
Yeah, you definitely have to have a balance, man, because, like, when I was going over to England and Japan and Dubai and all that stuff, man, I really started noticing, man, that it was impacting my home life because when I got home, you get bombarded with all the stuff that's been happening while you've been gone, right? Because you on the road, and it's really not no fair to your wife. If you got a woman at home, a wife at home, she's taking care of all the business. Yeah, you bring in some good dough through the crib, but you're not there to deal with everything. She's dealing with everything, right? So when she come back, she's going to unload on you. And who else she going to talk to about it? You may not feel like hearing that shit at the time, but who else she supposed to talk to? Thank God she come to talk to you about it and not no side nigga.
Man.
You feel what I'm saying? So it's like that, man. You know the thing is, man, with our people, and not to just, this attention is just kind of parallel to what we're talking about. This situation is kind of parallel to what we're talking about, right? Us as black people, we have to learn that nobody owes you something. Every opportunity I've ever had, I went out and busted my ass for it, dog. It was hard work. I did a lot of sacrificing, right? I made a lot of sacrifices. People have no idea what I sacrificed to just get stuff kicked off. Mm-hmm. They have no idea what my bills are every month, man. My bills are $25,000 every month. If I don't have that coming in, dog, it's going to be stuff like, when have you ever came and the lights was off in the studio?
Hell no.
You ain't never came to the studio lights off. We always had a place to record. We always had a camera people. We always had a camera person. We had stuff that needed to happen. And it was my responsibility to make it happen. That stuff comes with a cost.
Hell yeah.
It comes with a cost, and people don't understand that. So you get a dude that's on the outside looking in, and it's opportunities. It's a lot of opportunists out there. It's always a nigga looking to slide up under you and get in. And they assume that they know your business model when they come in. Because I just sat up there and listened to a cat tell me what my business model was and how I got niggas under fucked up contracts. First of all, everybody that signed the Digital Soapbox own their own show. I don't own nobody's show. The only show I have ownership in is the Gangster Chronicles podcast. The Gangster Chronicles podcast. I make 15 to 20% off of every show if we sell advertising based on that. I don't own their show. They can really go and walk. I've never enforced a contract on somebody. But it's always the person that wants to try to get in, and he's in everybody else's ear. He's a cancer. Those people become cancers, right? Because they go tell anybody that would listen to him, well, man, you know he doing this. You know he picked up $1 million for this. You know he picked up $500,000 for that.
But then what is the end game for that? Like, you know, so what does this individual want to see happen? They want to see you fall. They want to see you destroyed. They want to see you. Is it going to make them more satisfied that you can't feed the family or that you're broke or that nobody fucks with you? Is that I just don't be understanding what the end game. Like okay, what do you want to do? What do you want to happen?
You know what, man? The thing
what the
is-
fuck do you want to happen? Like, what do you want me to do? You're not going to be satisfied until what? Until what? I'm laying in the gutter, dead and broke or something? Would that satisfy you?
You know, like, what,
because,
man?
I'm trying
to figure it out too. You know what I believe, hey? I believe that people take situations like we just had a major situation with one of our co-hosts. You know I didn't want to let dude go. I didn't want to let him go, but it's business, man. Business always supersedes any relationship, right? It has to. Because guess what? If I don't handle business, we won't be able to pay our bills.
I didn't want to be let go from Sony, but they canceled my contract. I didn't want my deal from Big Beat to go when I had a production deal, 9 albums.
It was like shit, no fucking.
You know, it was, hey, thank you, and good luck.
You know what? But the thing is with this.
And I'm not saying that that's the attitude that the individual's supposed to have. I'm not saying that a motherfucker's supposed to be comfortable or not comfortable with it. But then I'm just saying, what happens after this shit? You get me? Do we concentrate on just trying to destroy a motherfucker, or do we get on up and go get it cracking?
And that's where most people fail at, because I've been let go from situations.
Don't get it cracking by just coming at me all the fucking time. You get me?
Oh, but that's
like,
the model.
It should be like, you know, when I lost a record deal, I had to go find me another record deal. Or I start putting out my shit independently. You get me? I had a little animosity toward the labels, but at the end of the day, I can't sit here and keep being fucking pissed off because a nigga dropped me. I gotta go make me another record somewhere.
You have to go, because you know the funniest thing to me, hey, last time I had my, we had our meeting, you know, we have meetings every other week with Black Effect. You should start getting on them calls, too.
And I want to clarify this, too. A motherfucker could do the same shit to me. I could do some shit, and a motherfucker could feel like I'm bad karma for the business. Eight, thanks for being around. You know, I made some money. I got myself to another level. I'm going to spin off now. Oh, I'm going to keep it gangster.
That's a business.
I'm going to keep it gangster, and I'm going to load up the trunks with AKs, and I'm going to go at this nigga. I don't know. Like I'm saying, and I'm not speaking for no side, because I ain't got shit to do with it. But at the end of the fucking day, what do we want to happen at the end of the day? Because if we can't talk like 50-year-old men, and we gotta go to the fact that we gotta get back on the block with it over business, then I don't know. Like,
you know, one thing I do want to clarify real quick, because you know how the internet is. This conversation is not about James McDonald. I actually have a lot of respect for James. I have a ton of respect for him. I don't like the way stuff ended, but it's what it is. Sometimes stuff can't end happily. You feel what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes just certain situations just can't be avoided, you know? So, and I held out for the longest. We had conversations about it. I held out as long as I could, but this conversation is about him. So don't go back talking about what they were talking about you. No, this is about this other guy. And the thing is, man, you just made a valid point. Me as a 50-something year old man, I'm not about to be out there tussling with people, dog. I'm not about to be out there doing this and doing that because I'm a businessman. You know what I do have, Eight? I have an attorney, a high-powered attorney that don't mind taking whatever little shit a motherfucker got.
But who expects you to be tussling with a nigga?
You know what? Is that what's
expected? Is what expected is for us to get in on the street and duke it out? Like, what's expected?
And you know, Eight, I'm going to tell you the irony of it all, bro. Over something that has nothing to do with you. This dude don't have nothing to do with nothing. He's a guy, every relationship he's ever had, he's fucked up. Because, you know, I do my research. I don't do a lot of talking because the thing is, you're talking about people that don't know me from a can of paint, technically. We've had a few conversations, and I actually helped him with a lot of stuff. Helped him, gave him some assistance, right? Even helped him come up with some stuff because, you know, then you sit up and listen to him talk about how intellectual he is, but his actions say the total opposite. And I was serious when I said, I got kids that's doing better than this dude, and this dude ain't 50, he's more closer to 60. I never imagined in a million years, man, I went to the music industry, man, I was in the music industry for 15 years, Eight, never had a problem with nobody. I start podcasting, now it seems like I got a problem with niggas I don't even know.
I mean, we go through that right now in this era. I mean, not to say that, you know, niggas ain't always had beefs with niggas because of nothing, you know. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of niggas I didn't have beefs with, I didn't even know I had a beef with. You get me? There's been plenty of niggas who just look at a nigga and be all like, I don't like that nigga. Like, why you don't like him? What'd he do? He didn't do shit. I just don't like that nigga. That's the attitude we have amongst ourselves, especially on the West Coast.
You know what I figured out,
though? I don't give a fuck, man. That's the attitude we got on the West Coast with niggas, man. And it ain't like about, you know, because a lot of niggas, you know, speak on, you know, you don't want to see me eat or you don't like my come up. And that's not nothing about it. You get me? It's just that niggas start getting genuine hate for motherfuckers when they think your position is better than mine.
Well, you know what it is, Eight. I'm going to tell you this, and this is what I tell people. If your whole basis for your comeback is going to be for you to go make a bunch of episodes about me or make videos about me or whatever like that, right, that's time that you could be spending on doing something productive for you that's going to put you on a level, because I've heard this all the time. Every time somebody leaves, oh, the show is over with. This, that, this is going to happen. But yet it keeps climbing. It keeps growing, right?
We as a people like to see us fall. And we, I mean, you know, like, I got a homie who, he loves the little show with, what's my nigga? Blueface and Krishan.
Yeah.
He loves it. He cannot get enough. Now, I'm talking about a 50-year-old hood nigga. He loves it. You know why? Because it's shit every fucking day.
It's a train wreck.
It's a fucking, he loves it. We love that shit.
You know what, Eight? I told somebody the other day, I don't know, I might have been talking to, shout out to Spitfire, sitting here kicking it with his dog today. But I was telling somebody the other day, I'm going to make a whole channel just devoted to accidents, train wrecks, people falling down the stairs. Because us as people, it's like we get this dopamine rush.
We like to
see
a nigga get fucked up. We just love some fucked up shit.
And you know what? It's scientific. They say we get a dopamine rush because I'm going to tell you what happened. I'll be on the freeway headed to the crib, man, and you traffic be backed up on both sides of the thing. And then you get to the end, you realize there ain't even nothing on this side of the road. There's some shit that don't happen on the other side of the road. People
are
stopping
like
to look. People stopping to look. I never understood that. People love train wrecks.
That shit embarrasses me. I turn this shit off. That's I look at shit like that, and I be ready to change the channel. Because I don't like to see niggas embarrassing themselves. It just do something to me. But we as a people, us as the niggas, love seeing niggas in some bullshit, man. You get me? Oh, I love to see some bitches jumping on a bitch. Oh, I love to see some niggas, you know what I'm saying, taking a nigga's shit or whatever. Like, we love that shit,
hey,
man.
I've actually
been. Not to cut you off, but to go back to the situation like you were saying where niggas will tune in and watch, you know, videos being made of bad mouthing and controversy and I'ma do this and I'ma do this. They will watch and applaud that shit as to apparently of why we can't figure out why there's a situation and a problem. But we can get more likes and followers and fans and whatever off the controversy and the negativity. You get me?
Yeah, you know what?
I don't want to see no positive shit. I don't want to see them niggas be cool, or I don't want to see this or that. I want to see niggas dumping on each other or trying to go at it. I want to see them two niggas trying to bite each other heads off when at the end of the day, both parties got a gang of shit to lose.
You know, the funny part about
it. You feel me?
Is you just said something.
You got a family. My nigga got a family. Everybody, but niggas is acting like niggas is 20-year-old niggas on the block with no kids and no grandkids and no, I got nothing to lose. Yeah, you do.
You got a whole bunch of stuff
to lose. You got to lose the Gangsta Chronicles. My nigga got to lose family and situations. My other nigga, whoever it is, you got shit to lose. Don't think that. It's the time and era where you'll be able to pull up and jump out on a nigga or whatever.
And you know and
it ain't going to. Let me tell you something. I said it best. The hood will take you under for some shit like this nowadays. Too many cameras, too many look-a-loos, too many snitches. Nothing gets away with nothing nowadays. I'm telling you. So why excel the bullshit, my nigga? You got too much to fucking lose. Because I tell a nigga every day, I'm trying to be cool with every motherfucker. I got too much to lose.
Hey, you know what, though? I'm going to tell you like this, man. We had went out to Vegas to shoot this motorcycle thing, right? And it was a good idea. This TV show, actually... You know, with movie stuff, when you produce stuff, you don't know what's going to crack. You might get a call 2 years later on it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a major company that just hit us up, and they was asking me about the footage and this and that, right? So the thing is, they asked me about my man, our former co-host. I said, yeah, definitely keep him involved. Why would I want to impede on him getting a check to be able to take care of his family? I don't operate like that. Again, I'm a businessman. I wanted to say something, man, to see people do stuff. We think it's cool to just go out and talk, man. See, Cardi B kind of did something real pivotal, man. She won $4 million in a libel lawsuit against this YouTube chick, right? The LaTosha Kibbe broad. Because, you know, the broad woman they're talking about, she had herpes and was on drugs and all this and that. She sued the shit out of her. You just can't go out and just drag a motherfucker's name through the mud with a bunch of bullshit. Because you know what, hey? That's really you impeding my business. You out there putting stuff out that's not true. You're talking about, oh, but the company structure is this and that. This man don't know nothing about me. Don't have a clue. He don't even got his own life together. So how you gonna try to run mine?
It's just like I said, I get it from the point of, you know, being emotional and feeling like I had ties or whatever. But like I said, I signed the motherfucker Sony for 7 years. I knew everybody in the building. I felt I had ties and love and everything, too, and a nigga with whatever. And no hard feelings. But we got to let you go.
Ooh,
you
man.
Get me?
Cardi hit this bitch over the head. $3 million in punitive damage and attorney's fees.
I don't even need to sue you. Why? I don't want to continue to carry on more shit. Why don't you just leave me the fuck alone?
But you know what, though, man?
That's my attitude about shit.
That's not.
I don't even need it to go to the level of, oh, you defaming me, you fucking with me. I'm finna get my lawyers and call a lawsuit. Nigga, I'm a nigga from the block. Let's just squash the beef. Period.
You know what's funny? It ain't shit that need to be squashed because I'm going to tell you with this. I don't operate from a premise of emotion. That's why you going to see me get mad. Now, I ain't going to lie. This other nigga had me hot, kind of. Because, you know, you just on this
end of
shit. You had me upset.
Of course.
The situation.
Like the situation where it was brought to me between. You get me?
Yeah.
What y'all tell me when I was getting ready to start going off?
I said, man, don't pay that nigga.
You said, dead that shit. I made one comment about it.
And left it alone. And this is my.
And I don't care if the other party wants to continue. My piece has been said. So from there, and I get where you coming from, because it was the same situation with me. It seemed like every day it was a different motherfucker speaking on the shit. And now this nigga's talking about it. And now this nigga. And then it go to this nigga's page. And this nigga's
and
channel.
You know what happens?
And this nigga's
and
channel.
You know what happens? And I actually had to talk to a few people about this. Your phone ring in the morning. Hey, man, you see such and such don't made a video. Why are you calling me to report this shit? I don't care what he made. I don't want to know nothing about it because, see, hey, I'm going to tell you
something. I used to say shit like that about females and shit. You know, who are your true friends? You get me? Mm-hmm. Because I don't think your true friends want you to be involved in controversy and bullshit. So why is your true friend calling you going, hey, man, you saw this shit or you saw this shit? Man, don't bring that shit to my
attention.
Everybody
likes a reaction. And I'm going to tell you why people do this, man. People are being intellectually lazy. People don't want to go do the research that it requires to really do content. Their idea of creating content, or we just go in here and diss motherfuckers and talk about people. Call this dude this, call this dude that. But I'm going to tell you, for every action that you have, man, it's a reaction. And there are consequences, and there need to be consequences for certain stuff. Now, when I talk about consequences, man, I'm not talking about going out there throwing hands with somebody as a grown-ass fucking man. I'm talking about legal consequences.
You know what? Because let me tell you what's going to happen. A motherfucker on the corner going to be filming y'all, and then they're going to put you up on Instagram and go, look at these two old motherfuckers out here fighting. Mm. And they're going to be clowning and laughing and doing all kind of shit. And they're going to turn it into a comical fest. Niggas don't give a fuck.
I'm not doing that. You know, you got to think about it like this.
Niggas don't give a fuck about niggas.
You have somebody that wears your last name proudly, right?
Right.
I have people that wear my last name proudly, man. I'm not trying to embarrass myself, first of all, my mama, my family, and all my true friends that really care about my well-being. These are people that have no bearing or significance whatsoever in my life. They get involved in other people's business and affairs because I'm going to tell you what it comes down to. Again, like I said, people being intellectually lazy. Instead of them going to go do some research, going to go buy them some camera equipment and do whatever they do, go do what you do. Leave me the fuck alone. That's all I ask. Leave me the fuck alone. Keep my name out your mouth and move on with your life. I don't owe you nothing. I don't even know you. And see, people think because they meet you on some business stuff that they know you. And for some reason, man, especially with these older cats, they take it that if you a gentleman and you a businessman and you do everything the right way, that you soft or something. I am not by any means soft, dog. I know some, man, they better knock it the fuck off.
But I don't even know why. See, that shit confuses me. Like,
it's confusing as a motherfucker.
Like dudes, like you just said, like, you know, like, nigga think I'm soft. Nigga think I'm soft. And it, like what does he want to do? You want to fight? Is that what's been said? Because this is my thing. Because for a dude, for somebody to go to that point, like, what do you really want to do? You want to get out in the street and duke him out? Like, because you coming at me on the aspect of, like you just said, you thinking I'm soft, which means in actuality, you want to get out. But why do I want to get out? For what? Because you want to discredit me behind some business shit.
That don't have nothing to do with you. That's the thing about
it. Or what? What? Okay, I'm a punk. Okay, yeah, nigga, you a punk. You a bitch-ass nigga. You ain't with it. You ain't with it, cuz or blood or whatever it is. Okay, cool. I'm also 50-something years old, and I'm not finna be in the street duking them out on no aspect of, like, no, because it's just hood mentality shit. I've been there and done that. I got enough. I'm a business now. You get me? I got shit to lose.
A lot of shit.
Even if it's on the aspect of, you want to catch a fade? Okay, and then what? We catch a fade and then somebody wins or loses, and then what? Now it's like, I told you I was going to whoop that nigga ass and whoop. Okay, but at the end of the day, ain't nothing changed.
And see, I'm going to tell you what
happened. What's changed?
I'm going to tell you
what happened. The podcast is still here. You're still not going to, you get me? So what the fuck has changed? You want to throw a couple of fists because of your pride?
I'm going to tell you what happened.
You
got to
grow up off of that shit, man.
I'm going to tell you what happened, Zay.
Fuck the pride, man. Let's be real men and move on with the situation.
I'm going to tell you what this, hey, this is what happens, right? Because I've seen it time and time again, right? This is the situation
that
happens.
You go out and fight a nigga today. At the end of the day, still what? Gangsta Chronicles still be going to be right here, right?
Yeah, still
going to be. Nothing's going to change. Whether you win or lose, what's going to happen? We still going to be on set next week.
Exactly. Exactly. And
this is
the crazy part about it. Eight, then I'm off of it. You go out there and you get the best of a nigga, right? Now his ego is bruised because he don't want to talk cash shit and don't got his head lumped up. Now he wants to come try to shoot your house up and all kinds of
shit. But why though? You face
the
consequences because you get your head lumped up and you come back and there's bullet holes somewhere. Who the fuck they gonna think did it?
That's what I'm saying. Niggas
you got
like,
listen.
Niggas
this
niggas
ain't
is a movie.
This ain't 85. This it's not. I don't give a fuck. We've all walked these blocks around here as far as trying to represent the hood and be whatever. This ain't 85. You do anything. You shit on the block on the corner right now. It's going to be a million niggas with their cameras out filming you shitting. You get me? And tomorrow it's going to be on social media. You're not getting away with nothing. So if it's about pride shit, like I said, I don't know. I ain't got nothing to do with it. You know, from whatever the situation is, you address it. My nigga said something about it. Whatever it is, at the end of the day, nothing is going to change. Gangsta Chronicles still going to be going on. You going to be over there doing your thing. My niggas over there on the other podcast going to be doing their thing. And at the end of the day, it's just going to be another disgrace of two niggas who was, you know what I'm saying, two grown-ass men who can't come to a settlement or a situation over a misunderstanding or whatever. And for all the outside motherfucking shit, it don't even need to be, you know what I'm saying? When niggas say, let a nigga catch a head-up fade, this is a head-up fade. This is a head-up fade on business between two individuals. All the outside parties, what is the problem?
You know what, though? That's the thing. Hey, this shouldn't be no problem because at the end of the day, this dude has nothing to do with nothing. I'm off of it, man. You know, what's up with these I think we live in an era, man, where some of these guys, and I'm really starting to think this, right? I was talking to one of my homeboys I played ball with. He's a psychiatrist, right? He told me that these hyper-aggressive older men that sit around barking all the time, they have a lot of latent homosexual tendencies. But listen to what I'm saying. It kind of makes sense because when you spend so much machismo and bravado and you just up trying to just challenge everybody, that means you got some stuff that you don't feel good about inside yourself. I'm very comfortable with my own skin, man. I don't have to prove to a motherfucker that I'm the hardest nigga walking the block and doing all that. That's ridiculous, man. You know what's going to wind up happening? You're going to wind up getting niggas out there. Niggas' backs going to be giving out. Niggas' legs going to be giving out. We old now, man. Knock it the fuck off.
I like I said, we come from a time, you know, we have disagreements upon motherfuckers, and you know, it's like people talk so much about us as a people and why we can't never get no recognition or respect or nothing because we do dumb shit, man. I mean, like, not calling nobody dumb. I'm not saying nobody dumb. I'm just sometimes our actions, you know, our actions get in the way of what can be maturity for us. You know, I've never heard a situation within, you know, within the white community where a it nigga got, you know, this situation arises and next thing you know, you got, you know, threats and all that and whatever, you know. In they situation, they do amicable splits, and then it's over and done with, you know. In our situation, it always got to be taken back to the hood. You get me? Everything results in the hood nature, you know.
Hey,
it's unfortunate, man.
On some other stuff, though, man, we could get off that negative tip for a minute.
Because, listen, on that last note, we've all came, you get me, and I'm going to say me, you, I'm going to say them, I'm going to say him. Look at what you came through, man. You get me? And I'm going to put this in the motherfucking picture form of, nigga, you came in as a motherfucking, you know, Vietnam, you're a recruit, you're a young motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You're 17, you joined the hood. You going through all the barbed wire and mud, and you know how niggas be under there training.
You crawling under the ropes.
You done
stuff.
Went through all that shit. You done. It's some niggas who don't even make it. You get me? You done watch your homies die. You done seen niggas AWOL. You done went through all that trench and made it to the other side. Been through wars. Been through motherfucking niggas getting their legs cut off and arms, and you done been through all that, made it to the other side. You clean right now. And you mean to tell me you want to keep crawling through that shit?
Yeah, man.
That shit, man. You gotta be amazed at what we've came through to get to this motherfucking point.
Hey, I'll tell
if you from Compton or South Central LA, Watts, Long Beach,
or
whatever.
Or the inside of Cleveland.
God damn, man. If you done crawl through that motherfucking mud and you sitting up right now doing a fucking podcast? Come on, man. You got to be appreciative of where you come through. You cannot want to lose where you at for nothing.
Dude,
I'm going
to tell
now.
You something. I've worked extremely hard, man. I came out here to California in 1988. I had $50 in my pocket, man, and two bags. And one of the bags got stolen when I was in Vegas because the flight I took was from Cleveland to Vegas because you remember they used to sell them vouchers in the newspapers, the flight vouchers?
Mm-hmm.
They sell flight vouchers, so I got me a flight voucher, a one-way ticket, dog, to Vegas. That's all he had. He said, I don't got no more L.A. ones. I got to Vegas. I go to Vegas, man. I turn my back for a minute to call my mama. A nigga done stole my bag. So I come out here with three T-shirts, my nigga, and two pair of pants. I get to the bus station of Long Beach, dog. All I do is I walk to Long Beach City College because I'm a young nigga from out of town, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking down PCH at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, passing all the hobos, gangbangers, and prostitutes. And I'm smiling like a motherfucker ate because I'm a 17-year-old nigga that just came out here from Ohio. I'm like, I'm in California now. And I go to the athletic department, dog, and sit on the stairs until the sun rises the next day, dog. I never look back. It's been beautiful. Coming to California changed my life, my nigga. It changed my life. If I was in Cleveland, if I would have got stuck in Cleveland, ain't no telling what the hell I'd be doing, dog. I'm pretty sure I would be locked up, dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have been out there selling dope with the homies and doing everything else. Because guess what? When I left, 4 years later, everybody I fuck with caught cases.
Man, you got to be proud about what you've accomplished. If you can wake up in 2023 and just roll over out of bed, roll a blunt, and just stand there, and like I said, if you from Compton or East Cleveland, Watts, Long Beach, man, you know what it was, man. And if you here right now, you got to be proud about that. And you don't want to jip. And like I said, I ain't discrediting nobody. Because in my eyes, if you went through all of that, whether you was the shooter or the rider, I don't give a fuck. If you came through all of that, you got to be proud about what you've accomplished to be able to be standing here right there today. Nobody's questioning your OG-ness, your hardness, because to me, man, everybody OG coming through that shit. If you was one of them 80s niggas or 70s niggas and 90s niggas and you came through it and you standing here right now, then applause to you. Don't jeopardize that shit for nothing. Nobody questioning your hood rep or what hardness or whatever it is. But we got to be more understanding in situations, man. Everything cannot result to going back to the block shit because you done already made it from there. And nobody questioning your affiliation or what you claim. And I'm talking about any nigga who listening to this. But we got to learn how to start dealing with different, because we already got enough of the young BGs popping like it ain't shit. You get me? They already taking niggas out left and right like it ain't shit. We already trying to save the motherfucking rest of the neighborhoods from faltering and falling down because my young niggas out here is really on it. So if you've been an old nigga and you done came through this shit, let's deal with shit in a different situation than just having a result to, I'm going to blow a nigga head off. Or fuck that nigga. Like, come on, man, we 50-60.
And I've always let it be 50-60,
that's all. I ain't talking no more about it.
I've always been very clear. I am not no gangbanger. Never have been one. I got plenty of homies to do, you know, that from where they from. But I've made a conscious decision on not to participate in none of that stuff, right? Because like you said, man, where we come from, man, opportunities are few and slim.
Damn right.
And I'm one of the dudes that made it, man. I got to get a college education based on me being able to play football, right? I got a family, dog. All my kids are doing extremely well, man. My daughter is 19 and got her own business, dog. Got her own business, dog. That's incredible to me. Got a son that's a fireman. Got a son in the NFL, dog. All of that stuff is stuff that you dream of, dog. I'm not tricking myself out of position for none of y'all niggas. For not none of y'all. Go find somebody else that like to play them games. You know what I mean? You know, I was wondering, man, what's going on today, man, with the kids, man, they masculinity, man. I heard Lil Uzi don't change his name to Lauren or something like that.
I don't speak on anything involving the letter gang, man. Cause
oh no,
they'll be outside, man. On us, man. Real talk.
But
so,
no, you know what? I will say this. Let's give a disclaimer.
I just go preferences. People have preferences, and you know now you got people doing shit for more likes and followers and more popularity. You know, I just don't know because this ain't my generation, so I can't speak on what the decisions are that these young females and these young men are making to make them, you know, do certain things. Just like everybody was speaking on Doja Cat with the tattoo because they're saying it's demonic. Everybody's going a demonic route and shit like that. I mean, man, you know, I don't know. I don't know what, you know, freedom of speech and I don't know their, you know, their artist and their artistic vision is taking them to other places. Man, I just rapped. You feel me? Mm. I just spoke on the neighborhood and the oppression of the neighborhood and as a young black youth being a normal kid growing up in the hood, seeing the pitfalls and down shit of growing up in a place like Compton, California. Not, you know, but to me, still was the beautifulest motherfucking place in the world. You get me? You nigga, we had everything. Carnivals and motherfucking picnics and family little get-togethers and low riders and motherfucking pretty-ass girls and hard niggas and, you know, crooked cops and fucking big-time drug dealers and shit. Man, we had it all in Compton. Compton was a movie. You know what I'm saying? So but I can't speak on, you know, that was my normalty growing up as a kid. You get me? Waking up motherfucking watching Super Friends on Saturday or going outside riding up and down the street with the homies on our beach cruisers or, you know, going to fuck with little girls and shit at the mall and shit. I don't know the way these young motherfuckers are coming up today. What are they seeing and what are they visioning as artists? Like I said, they artistic vision and, you know, I want to be this person today, but tomorrow I want to go put on a motherfucking spacesuit and walk around, you know, the mall and be like, this is the latest fashion. And then tomorrow I'm going to go, you know, be half naked with I don't know where they get that shit from. I don't think that shit comes from normal Saturday morning cartoons and fucking, you know, having fun with your cousins and bike riding. I don't know where that shit comes from.
I'm going to tell you something, man, because you just made a point earlier. The LGBT community is very strong and got a lot of power. We actually just signed one of our first LGBT shows, the Eat My Taco show.
Okay.
Homegirl Dominique and Squishy. We gonna have they off the hook. We will have them on here one day just to come and talk some shit. They
exactly.
Off the
we get
so. My homegirl told me something that was real profound. She said it's a thing right now since the LGBT community does have such a big presence. It's a lot of people now that's acting like they're gay. That's not really gay. The Woe Vicky chick, she said that she think Lil Nas X not gay. And so it's a lot of people just doing stuff for likes, and it all comes down to clicks and likes because people want to feel validated nowadays. So if it takes a dude to go out there could be straight as a motherfucking, they could be straight as an arrow, come out and say he gay to get some attention, that's what people are doing now, I think, or they flirting with the idea or whatever. You feel what I'm saying?
I don't know. We just frowned upon shit differently as me as a kid. Not to say, you know, to each his own. You do what the fuck you want to do. But I just come from a different time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. My mom grew up, you know, from Gulfport, Mississippi. My father was from Tampa Bay, Florida. I grew up a normal kid. You get me? So I don't know what makes or turns or what, you know, happens. But I consider myself, but they turn around and say they grew up normal. You get me? A motherfucker who want to be demonic or wear certain shit or say certain shit, they'll claim they grew up normal. My parents was this and I was a normal kid. So you never know what transition, what turns to what make a motherfucker really do what the fuck do they do. Is it for attention? Is it to gather more fans? Is it for publicity? I mean, because there's motherfuckers who are told doing certain shit could get you to another level. You get what I'm saying? You do this, man, I'm telling you, you're going to have the whole world looking at you if you do this.
You know what?
And some people feed off of that shit. You get me? Oh, I could have 10 more million fans if I dress up like a crazy motherfucker and do this and do that. Yep, because in our business still, no publicity is bad publicity.
Yep, and social currency actually is more valuable than money. Now, looked at it like money. If you ask the average kid today, would they rather have $200,000 or 20 million followers, I guarantee you more than half of them will say, give me the 20 million followers. Me and you go say, hey, give us the money. Give us the bread.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about that shit.
I've always been that. I've been rapping for a long time, done a couple of movies, video games, whatever. I've always considered myself to be an artist who was direct and in tune with what I spoke about. But let's face it, there have been artists who have had triple more success than I've had. I'm comfortable.
Yeah, well, think about it. Hey, how many records you done sold, dog?
Oh, who knows, man? Over 20 million records.
That's not no easy feat, dog. You got a whole lot of stuff to applaud.
I've always been comfortable with being who I am. I was talking to a nigga the other day and telling him, you know, there's certain dudes who come into this business and they go, I need a motherfucking hit. I need a hit. I've never went into the studio and said, I need to do this. Nigga put on the beat and I write what come to my brain. Do I look to see if it's gonna get me to performing at the Grammy status? I don't chase that. So I am more comfortable just being the person I am than trying to chase fame. You get me? You can just give me the paycheck and I'm good. I do my job and I'm ready to go.
Me and you talked about that kind of last night when you said Punch and them, the homies from TDE, had reached out to you to do the thing with Kendrick. And you was like, I didn't ask them for no money or nothing.
Shout out to my nigga Top and Punch, TDE. When I went to do the song, I never expected any money. I didn't go, oh, well, shit, how much am I going to be paid? Or I wonder if they're going to try to cash me out. I went on the aspect of it was Aftermath. It was TDE. It was Kendrick. That's what I went and did the song for. I think I got a check a couple of months later. Did not expect the motherfucker at all. Because I did it off of just general purposes of, oh, them niggas recognize me. They want me to be on the motherfucking record? Oh, shit, man, please, let's go.
Do you know how many people would have tricked that opportunity off and as soon as they'd have got there, been asking how much they gonna get paid and fucked off a relationship?
I don't do shit like that, especially when I know it's of a certain level. I mean, like I said, all you had to do was say Dre and Punch and Top and Kendrick, and I was like, yeah, what time y'all want me at the studio? And that was it. I never in the back of my mind hit a nigga and was like, am I going to get paid? Even when, I mean, because, you know, it's, you know, niggas work like, oh, you fucking with Dre? Oh, nigga, I need like $30,000 or woopty woop. It was never, I do shit, man, just, man, fuck it. It was a motherfucking, I just chalk it up as an experience of doing something for motherfuckers that I was appreciative that the motherfucker hit me. They could have hit a gang of niggas from Compton. Mm-hmm. You know, give me shit. Dre could have got on it himself. Motherfucker, you got Ren. You got Quick. You got motherfucking YG. You got Tiger. You got a couple of niggas who claim Compton who have significant rap careers who they could have easily been like, man, let's go do, you know what I'm saying?
Dot is a real hip-hop head though, dog. It didn't surprise me when he hits you up, dog. Dot is a real, like, hip-hop dude. He really studies his history and stuff. But was he in the studio? He was in the studio when y'all did the record,
yeah, definitely he was there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like I said, some people chase fame. In our day and age now, it's all about the popularity of the camera and the click. You know what I'm saying? The more controversial shit you put out there, the more follows, the more likes, the more shit you get, the more you go viral. You know, that's the thing nowadays. I've never gave a fuck about this shit. You know, I was one of those late blooming niggas. I really didn't like the internet. I didn't really like digital. I didn't really like streaming. None of that, because I was an old school nigga. It's very, you know, it's very useful, very successful. You adapt with the times, but I'm still in the same position.
And need I say that you're probably making more money now, eight, than you was when you were signed to a label.
Goddamn right. I mean, but that's just the way it is, you know. But I'm fortunate enough that I've been able to come through this time and adapt with the times and social media and the internet and streaming and all that. But still, I'm still the same type of nigga. I don't give a fuck about the fame.
Oh, you know what? One thing I want to do, man, because we was going to start talking about music a lot more on the show.
Before we get up out of here.
Yeah. Have you heard that new DJ Quick record yet?
I heard Class.
That motherfucker is hard.
It's banging.
It's banging like a motherfucker.
I really liked it when it first came out. I heard it. So
it was a new sound for me for Quick.
Yeah,
it was definitely. It was a new sound, so it kind of threw me off at first. But the more I listened to it, I went in the truck and took a ride. I said, this motherfucker is hard.
Definitely.
And Quick is very underrated as an MC.
Right.
People talk about his production all the time.
Everybody, you know, rate his production high. You know, there's a lot of us who feel like we don't get the recognition that we should as artists. Shit, I've been rapping, what, since motherfucking 88. And all my records have been distinctive and been about, you know, the neighborhood and Compton and uplifting and whatever, whatever. But a lot of us don't get that recognition that we feel we deserve. Some of us don't give a fuck. But at some point, you know, some people want to be recognized as contributing.
Man,
Quick is one of them.
Million sold. I think you are.
I don't give a fuck, man. Y'all can give me a flower or you can give me a motherfucking blunt. Whatever it is, man, I don't look for it. You know, I just appreciate that motherfuckers still. Motherfuckers know what I've done, and I'm cool with that, man. I'm cool with that.
You and Quick did a record before, right?
I did a couple of records on the Rosecrans Project. Shout out to Problem and Quick. Yeah, we've done a couple of songs,
man,
together.
We definitely need to get Quick up in here to sit down, dog.
Yeah, we should.
Quick, we need
get
you on here,
man.
Definitely. I'm asking humbly that you come on the show and bless us with your presence, dog.
I got a single drop in April, what, 28th?
Oh, yeah.
This week.
And, you know, before we go, I want to talk about your album. You got some joints on that motherfucker.
Yeah, I got a record called Lessons finna come out May 5th. And let me just clarify this. I don't try to use the podcast platform to promote music.
And I tell you to do it all the time.
Still tell me all the time to do it. I don't like to do it because, you know, Gangsta Chronicles is Gangsta Chronicles. But, you know, yeah, we got a record coming out May 5th. It's called Lessons Part 2. It's got a couple of features on it. You know, Dave East, DJ Premier, DJ Muggs, E40. The single is dropping on the 28th of April. It's called The Paper featuring Domino. You know, if you ain't heard of Domino, he's the Here We Go. You know, he ain't been around for a while, so... We trying to bring.
You dropping that as the first single?
Yeah, I'm dropping that as the first single.
And you got the banging ass song with E40 on there.
Yeah, man, I'm just working. You know, that's what we do. I'm one of them dudes, man. How many jobs you got? I got jobs, man. So I'm trying. I still got the music going. We doing the podcast. My son is getting ready to go to college. So I'm doing it all, man, just to stay active. I appreciate everybody tuning in, you know. So let's just have fun and let's keep it going. Hey, y'all stay safe out there, man, and just watch yourselves.
When do Lessons drop?
Lessons Part 2 drops May the 5th. Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. We gonna have a link up in there for him for sure. I just want to ask you one more question, because when you was in the back in the warehouse playing a record for me, you and Dave East both came off on that motherfucking song, dog.
Dave East, that's my nigga. Shout out Dave East. Like
Dave
I said,
East is a beast.
There's a lot of dudes in this industry that, you know, you meet and you come across. Niggas really genuinely have love for you. You know, you can hit them up with no hesitation. You know, to me, that's Scarface. That's DJ Premier. Dave East is one of them. DJ Muggs is one of them. You know, Be Real is one of them. Exhibit is one of them. Niggas that I could just hit, like, off of GP, be like, what's up? 2 seconds. What's up, eight? So, shout out to all my niggas.
No, you did something with Bishop and with Glasses, too, right?
I got a song with Glasses on the new album, and I did a song with Bishop. We still mixing that around. We're probably going to save that for the next project. But definitely, man, like I said, you run across dudes, you know, and I get it. Some dudes, they got to charge you and, you know, whatever, whatever. But there's a lot of dudes I've met over the course of my journey who I got respect for, who they have respect back, and that's how shit gets accomplished, man.
As it is, and we done been sitting up in this motherfucker running our mouth for a minute, man.
Yeah.
So, we out of here, man. Make sure you like, subscribe, rate, do all that good shit. All right? And we gone. Oh, and before I go, if you in Atlanta this week, come holler at me at the Black Effect Podcast Festival. I will be out there in the house. I'm coming to the A. All right? Come fuck with your boy.
Yeah.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find a purple mic on the front of your screen, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles podcast are Norman Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MCA Tyler. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt, and our audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of iHeart Media Network and the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.